Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His amazing and real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know today is one of our favorite days. Every month we get our good friend Dr. Troy Sproul on the show to talk about health and the healing process. And you're going to hear me say this all the time. Every step towards healing and health matters. And you know, we're ready to take your questions. In fact, Carmen already texted in. She's not our morning show host, but a different friend. She's an overachiever. So how about you? You can text your questions in. It's better if you kind of get them coming in right away, because oftentimes what happens is Dr. Troy and I have a topic that we start off with. We converse about it for a while, and you're listening and you're engaged. And then at the bottom of the hour, we see a bunch of texts come in and we can't possibly get to all of them. So even if our conversation sparks interest and thoughts and questions, go on and text them in. Text 877-933-2484. Our two kickoff topics today to talk about are, well, kickoff, not football, but we both love football. So that'd be fun. We've talked about it before. But this time we're going to talk about, you know, is sickness the result of just living on a fallen planet, bad genetics, or are we sometimes the cause of our own sickness? And if so, how do we make ourselves sick? What can be done about it? And secondly, what is an anti-inflammatory diet and who should try it? All right, we'll get them on in a minute, but we just want to welcome you. If you're brand new to the Faith Radio audience and you want a welcome packet, you can go on our website, myfaithradio.com, and request one. It's free, but it's just lots of fun stuff to tell you what we're all about. Also, if you'd be praying for us as we're stepping into our fundraiser coming up, it's a one day only, and we want to finish the year strong. Would you just be praying for us, because we really feel like we are just getting started. Also, a quick caveat, as Dr. Troy is here, he's just gives his time so generously to us, but he's not here to give medical advice over the air. Always see your doctor for any changes to your health program. We do these shows to provide a big picture, preventative approach to health. As I say, every step towards health and healing matters. Now, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago. We've been saying that for a while. How many years ago, really? Is it? It's a different number now?
Technically, it is 27 right now.
Okay.
But before, it was in healthcare 26 years. So now Synapse, as we know it, is 27 years old.
Come on. Time for a birthday party.
Yep.
His vision is to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. If you go to Synapse in Eagan, Minnesota, there's a national map, and then there's a world map, and you see all the places where of people from all over the world that they've treated. It's so fun. Doc, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
All right. Before we dig into our topics, you know the question. What's God been talking about these days?
Well, because of the season, it's really about thanks and gratitude. But that's also been just a big part of just what's happening right now. I just feel a lot of what I've been equipped for is starting to happen. And so in my world, things are going at almost a supersonic pace right now, and I've got this energy, and just doors are opening. And someone said to me a long time ago, when it's of man, you have to knock on every door, and it's such a grind, and it's so hard. But when it's of God, just the flood, they just come to you, and that's what's happening right now. These doors are opening, and these people are coming, and these conversations are just phenomenal. So I am just filled with gratitude right now at what God is doing just my personal space right now. So I'm going to bring forth 1 Timothy 4, 4 or 5. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. And I'm just completely coming with gratitude and just thankfulness for what God is doing right now.
That is so wonderful. Who needed to hear that today? Somebody got to text me an amen. Another way I've heard it said, and I've quoted it often, is Craig Groeschel says, when it's not God's time, you can't force it. When it is God's time, you can't stop it. And maybe you're in that in-between and you're tempted. I'm just saying, I know this is true for many of you because you might be in a season of transition where you're tempted to do what Sarah and Abraham did, especially Sarah's fault mostly because it was her idea. But, you know, why don't you sleep with my mistress? Because God promised us a son, so let's get it that way. And I'm not saying you're tempted to have your husband sleep with a mistress, but I'm saying you might be tempted to preempt an outcome that God has promised would come. And there's time, stuff for you to do in the in-between. So trust him and cultivate a heart of faith and dare to see what he will do. Because I love that he really does bless those who wait on him. I mean, scripture is very clear about that. Blessed are those who wait for God, and those who wait on him will rise up with wings of eagles. So you're a walking testimony of that, Doc. So thank you for sharing. Love that.
Absolutely, yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so question. And I think we could probably spend a whole hour hashing through this topic. And here it is. When people get sick, is it just the accumulative effect of bad genetics and life on a fallen planet? Or do we sometimes make ourselves sick? Now, I think you might think, of course, there's times we make ourselves sick. So let me qualify this before I let you just speak to it. We can never condemn or blame someone for making themselves sick. I mean, Jesus, every time he saw the crowds, was moved by compassion. Obviously, like obesity or smoking. I mean, as they say, God's not obligated to make you healthy if you keep trashing your health. Yes, we can make ourselves sick. But I want you to just dig a little bit deeper because there might be times where people think that they're being health conscious, but they're maybe doing something they ought not to, and it's actually causing other problems. So wherever you want to go on that topic, I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, so absolutely. We definitely make ourselves sick. I do believe that we also have a sick planet. We have a fallen world that contribute to that. Of those three scenarios, genetics is the least of
wow.
the three when it comes to why we get sick.
Whoa.
And I think people think it's the number one.
Right. And they sometimes, when they get these tests, they use that as a prophecy almost,
yeah.
like they're destined for diabetes or whatever.
Yes.
Wow.
I want people to hear this, and we have to unpack it a little bit, but when you use genetics as a reason or an excuse, I'm going to say an excuse, as to your problems, there may not be a lot of rationale behind that. An excuse is nothing more than a reason wrapped in the skin of a lie. And so when we use an excuse, that means there's a lie that we believe. And genetics is one of the lies that's really amplified by science that have people go down a path or get trapped. And so I want people to hear that. Now, I do understand that genetics do play a role, and the people do have genetics when it comes to not tolerating the world that we're in, whether it be mold or MTHFR. They're still relevant. They're not irrelevant. They're still relevant. You clean up the environment, though, and that changes the genetics. So, for example, we've said on past shows, one of my mentors had poor genetics when it came to cardiovascular disease. Every male in his family passed away before the age of 50. Well, he's in his mid-60s right now, thriving. Because his genetics didn't change, but his environment, what he put into the genetics did.
And how proactive he was about it.
And how proactive he was about it. That's right. Mm-hmm. So for me, that tells us it's not as much the genetics. And that's true for 99% of the people out there. So we're talking about less than 1% of the people really have genetics as a reason. Now, how we make ourselves sick, we have to be honest with ourselves, too, with a lot of things. We talk about whole food versus processed food, and people will drink apple juice and think it's healthy for them. And the reality is they could be drinking so much juice, it's the same as drinking pop, but fructose is even harder on the body in excess than glucose or sugar. And so a lot of people may not be they think they're doing the right thing, but they're not. So that's one component of it. But even more important is when we almost get into an unknown self-sabotaging mode because we're believing lies unconsciously and we're giving excuses. But our emotions and our perception of who we are in the world around us, when we don't get some clarity on that, when we don't know our identity in Christ, we can become confused. And then that confusion leads to a whole series of consequences when it comes to our choices as well. So any type of extra stress or distress within the body especially when people live in that fight or flight or fear mode, our cells will literally fold over on themselves, blocking the receptors from absorbing the nutrients. So you might be eating a perfectly clean, healthy diet, but the nutrients can't be absorbed properly because of your mindset, because of the emotional state that you're in. So we can make ourselves sick by keeping ourselves in an emotional state that's not a healing state. And so we scientifically have been able to measure the difference in cells. When people are in a state of love and joy, their cells open up, receiving the nutrients. And in a state of fear or fight or flight or stress, chronic stress, then all of a sudden the cells close off. And think about the world we're in right now. There's just so much more opportunity for the fight or flight stress scenario. And so we start to see inflammation start to increase. And then when you're stressed out, what do we crave?
Sweet.
Salt and sugar.
Mm.
And then that's what we go to.
Mm.
Not only that, we have food scientists and food chemists that create food with the intention of making us addicted to that food. Their job is to sell more, not to keep us healthy. Their job is to sell more. So they'll create chemicals that have our brain say, yes, I like that, I like that. But there's no nutrients in that chemical or that food. So the cell is still saying, I'm starving,
wow.
I'm starving, feed me. And then you give them whole, good, God-made food, and your cells literally send a signal back to the brain. And I know it's dopamine and serotonin, but in my mind, it says, thank you, God. That's a little brain chemical.
Because God made dopamine and serotonin,
that's right. So that's the signal that goes back to the brain when
wow.
you get your cells nourished properly.
Wow. You know, you think so often, like you might be thinking, I'm giving my kids a good breakfast out the door in the morning, and I give them waffles and syrup and orange juice. But that's like over, you know, exposing them to massive carb surges, right? I mean, speak to that. I mean, not that you want them to always go out the door empty with an empty gut, but there are times they would actually do better in a fasted state than having such an over indulgence of carbs, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So let me use an analogy. So in that analogy, you're getting a lot of carbs that's going to spike your sugar. So a whole bunch of sugar rushes into your bloodstream, because as you're eating it, the sugar that they now make to make those things are really small and tiny, so they get absorbed a lot faster. Now let's compare that to an apple, like we spoke about before. The sugar that's in an apple is bound to the fiber, so it's like a tree branch with leaves and berries on that tree branch, and as it goes through your intestinal tract, it slowly starts to get rid of a branch and slowly starts to get rid of one of the berries. So the sugar is a much, much, much more subtle, delayed response. So you don't have that huge spike going right into the bloodstream. When the breakfast you just described goes into the bloodstream, you get this huge spike and rush of sugar, and then your body goes, oh no, and it freaks out and says, I need insulin. So then it does a hyper spike of insulin and ultimately overcorrects because too much sugar is damaging. Literally, it gets sticky. And if your blood vessels get sticky and you can't deliver oxygen to your brain says, this is really problematic. And so we get this down turn of the blood sugar, and you get that low blood sugar moment, which the candy bar people will turn that into a commercial saying you're not quite yourself.
And have more sugar.
Have more sugar.
Yeah.
Because that'll temporarily fix it. And people think, okay, I had to grab the chocolate bar. Now I feel a little bit better. But all you're doing is perpetuating that same thing.
Mm.
You have to bring balance into that, and you have to have a nice slow return. So things like fiber and protein really help give a more of a delayed, slow energy response when it comes to the sugar.
So in a moment, maybe on the other side of the break, we're not going to go to break just yet, but just want to say this so I can remind myself, and if I forget, Angie will remind me, or you will, Dr. Troy, but about gas station meals where you get the big giant gulp or whatever, the big giant thing of soda and the cellophane wrapped sandwich, and that's your meals constantly. We're going to connect that to inflammation. But one other thought about making ourselves sick, I'm thinking of people who say, I don't eat crazy, I don't drink crazy, whatever, but maybe they take a lot of over-the-counter medicines, just for this symptom, that symptom, this, and due time, it may be, because anything you take medicinally, even supplementally,
mm-hmm.
will affect your physiology, right? And your body chemistry. So I'm wondering, in that situation, if that is a default, like you self-treat, self-diagnose, and you take a lot of over-the-counter medicines to treat symptoms, can that in due time make you sick? I really don't know. I'm just wondering.
Oh, absolutely, because it's a Band-Aid. And so a lot of times it's just covering up a symptom. It's not getting to the root cause. If the root cause is something that gets better on its own, then you're good to go. If the root cause is not something that gets better on its own and you have to keep taking it, it means you've not gotten to the root cause.
So that's left unchecked.
That's left unchecked. Mm-hmm. God did not make us with a vitamin P or a vitamin Prozac deficiency. You know what I mean? That wasn't part of our design. So medications like that are meant to manipulate stuff that's within us. God did design us with the chemical that we make, dopamine or serotonin, and it did design us with the receptors. So we have a billion-dollar pharmacy inside of us already. We just have to learn to identify it and use it. And if something's interrupting that, that's what we have to identify. That's more the root cause. It's not always easy to get to the root cause right away, so there is a very valid reason for using medications. And I'm not against medications. They save lives. They do a lot of good work. But I'm against the misuse of medications. Mm-hmm. And if someone's on a medication, I 99% of the time dislike when I hear I'm supposed to be on this the rest of my life.
Mm, yeah.
Because that means they've given up on looking for the root cause. Because I know it, unless there's like an injury or something that's permanent that you know is permanent. But even with that, I just believe that there's a solution for every problem. So I always like to and implore people to keep looking for, well, what set this up?
Yeah.
Why did this happen? Mm. And when you land on that, you will require less medication, and I guarantee it's going to help you with a lot of other things.
Interesting. As we go to break, I'm reminded, you know, my dad is in heaven now, but he smoked for a lot of years and ended up with bladder cancer, and they said direct connection. Bladder cancer is very common for people who smoke. And then Dr. Lee Warren, who's a brain spine surgeon who comes on once in a while, if I remember right, Angie, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought he said smoking is also very connected to spine deterioration. Do you know that?
Yeah, absolutely. And degenerative disease in general.
Yeah. Wow. So, yes, the choices we make can make us sick. So this is why we do this show every month. It's like, because there's not a one-size-fits-all to healthcare and to your health story. You are this accumulation of trauma, of good genes, bad genes, you know, of environment. But the Lord God himself wants you to be restored. He wants you to be healthy. And I'm praying with all my heart that he shows you next steps to take so that you can flourish in your health. More with Dr. Troy in a minute. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I don't know about you, but I love consistent nourishment. I love to fast on occasion. There's a purpose in that. But if you go too long without eating on a regular basis because you're too busy, your body actually goes into crisis mode. Well, in the same way, your soul, your spirit, they need nourishment too. And that's why it's so important to be listening to scripture, listening to good teaching on a consistent basis throughout the day. That's why we're here. We love what we do, and we want to do it with you. If you listen on the radio, on the terrestrial signal, we encourage you, download our free Faith Radio app. That way, if you're traveling this season, you can take us with you wherever you go. You can catch the live shows or even the podcast after the fact. And we've made it easier than ever. All you have to do is text the word app to 877-933-2484 and then click the link. I hope you will walk with us on this journey. Greater things are yet to be done in and all around us because God, well, he's on the move. Well, I hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. One of our favorites is on today. He joins us every month, Dr. Troy Spurrell. He is CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. And he's got people flying in from all over the place to be treated by his clinic. And he's a good friend, and he's been my doctor for a long time and helped me in ways I can never even quite describe. He's got a shepherd pastor's heart. That's one of the reasons we love him. And we have him on every month to answer some of your questions, but to really give a bigger picture of preventative health. I mean, really going after your health in a preventative mindset. And if you are sick and struggling, that just to consider maybe a bigger picture on your approach on how you get well. And again, he's not here to diagnose over the air. You need to talk to your doc about and making any changes. But this is really to give you a bigger perspective and maybe answer some of your questions. And our top topics that we wanted to talk about today, one was, can you make yourself sick? And the obvious answer is yes, but I wanted to break break that down and do a deeper dive. I seriously think we could spend the whole hour talking about that.
Yep.
And I see a number of texts that have come in, and we're going to hop to those in just a moment. But I mentioned, you know, gas station meals, and I'm not dissing gas stations. I'm grateful I can put gas in my car. But there are people that live their breakfasts and their lunches every day are gas station meals. And you're talking about 32 ounces of soda, and donuts and sandwiches and things. And I want to talk in a moment about the anti-inflammatory diet and who it's for. But what's the cumulative effect of doing that as a rule? I mean, because there are 18, 19, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds. They're young people when they should be in the peak of health, and they're eating that way. What's the cumulative effect?
Yeah, I'm with you. The gas should be in the car, not in your body when it comes to that whole scenario. And they're generally, I've seen an effort to try and clean things up in gas stations and give some healthier options, but even their healthy options tend to be really poor options. Mm-hmm. And so, if you're getting your meals from gas stations, if you drive truck, I have a lot of patients and that's their biggest challenge. They drive truck cross country sometimes. You have to be very, very diligent with how you prepare and prep for your meals. And it can be done. One of my healthiest people that I have now started very unhealthy, truck driver, and he has a mini fridge in his semi-truck now and prepares his meals, has these little health shakes, and then has little exercises that we set up while he drives truck.
Wow.
The guy is in his 60s, and he could run a marathon tomorrow.
Wow.
Because he's in such good shape.
Wow.
And he has not lost a step, basically, driving truck as he's and gone on now. We're getting close to 20 years, probably. And so he's done very, very well. And he had to just stop getting food at the gas stations. Because they don't have a lot of nutrient value. They do cause inflammation. Probably 98% of what's in there causes inflammation. And even the stuff, they don't really have organic. And so the apples and the stuff that they try and do in the salads, it's all still processed. And the more you process something, the more it comes with chemicals and comes with challenges. So unfortunately, gas station food is a quick way to end up in a place like my facility or other healthcare facilities, because you will become inflamed. You will eventually either gain weight or have some labs that go off. There will be a consequence.
Especially you don't do that without consequence.
No,
right?
There's always a consequence, especially if it's a routine or habit.
I always refer back to, and I've told the story so many times of your two patients where you had an old couple, but they were healthy and ate pretty clean and kept inflammation down, were in a pretty significant car accident and walked away.
Yeah.
And a man in his 40s who should have been in a peak of his health was in just a fender bender, and it caused a cascade of inflammatory response because there was so much inflammation in his body to begin with. It took the slightest bump to knock him into a whole different place health-wise.
Yep. Yes, I just saw the husband of that couple. The wife has now passed, but the husband is 95 years old, turning 96 soon. So
wow.
So he is doing great still, and he was in his late 80s when they had that accident. So was she.
Wow.
And so they did phenomenal with that. So
wow, amazing.
Yep.
Okay, so I want to respect all these questions coming in. So one more, I might have a couple follow-ups with it because I've had this question come in, so I want to address it for those who need it. What is an inflammatory diet? What does it consist of and who needs it?
What's an anti-inflammatory diet? So anti-inflammatory diet is basically anything that really is fully loaded with antioxidants. So antioxidants, basically, they bind free radicals in the body. So what they do is we have these free radicals. They're kind of like little sparks that come off of a fire. And so they will kind of spark, and it's kind of like a little ember burning. But if that ember is burning in and around your cell, it's going to do some damage. So your cell walls, they affect cell walls. They affect lining of the arteries, all these different things, because all of our system is meant for communication. We even have this brilliantly designed matrix of a communication system in our blood vessels called the glycocalyx, and they're just like these fine little hairs, but they send signals back to the rest of the body. If all of a sudden that starts to get on fire, you're losing signals from your vascular system to your brain and your other cells. And so antioxidants are things like vitamin A, vitamin E, vitamin C. These are things that are found in our foods that actually help to bind to these embers or spurs while they're floating in the air before they can land and cause problems. And so the more you have circulating antioxidants in your bloodstream, the less likely you're going to have these little fires that are happening all over your body. So it's kind of like there's a forest fire going on, but you're able to catch the embers before they hit the ground.
Oh, that's what antioxidants are. Very good analogy. And so what would a basic anti-inflammatory diet look like?
So fruits and vegetables. So lots of vegetable servings, fruits, and then food that doesn't cause a negative reaction. So it can get a little tricky because it's kind of interesting. But if you're going antioxidants, that's fruits and vegetables, leaning a little bit more on the vegetables. So a lot of people will go like vegetarian and get a lot of great benefit from that. Anti-inflammatory proteins are chicken and some of the white meats. And then rice can be anti-inflammatory. However, we also have found that red meat gets its bad name because of it being pro-inflammatory. But that's only if you combine it with sugars and other carbs. If you just did a red meat diet, it actually reduces your inflammatory markers. We found that out with carnivore and even Atkins diet back in the old day, a cleaner version of the Atkin. And there are people who live in areas or have lived in areas where all they ever had was fat and red meat, and their markers are fine as far as the inflammatory stuff. So we do see some of it has to do with food combining. So the old anti-inflammatory diet of chicken and rice and turkey with the veggies and some fruit is still very true. For the most part, now we have to change the definition to whatever you eat that causes an inflammatory reaction. So if you have SIBO and you eat onions and garlic and apples, that will feed the SIBO in a negative way.
Causing
inflammation because the bacteria that feed off of that are causing the inflammation. So anti-inflammatory diet really depends on what food you can eat that does not cause an inflammatory reaction.
Because there's all these secondary issues that, you know, people respond in. You know, someone can walk into a mold building and not have a massive inflammatory response. Someone else
could.
Wow.
And things like sugar we know are inflammatory. The more they've refined it, the more inflammatory it becomes. When they changed our gluten in America, that becomes inflammatory for a lot of people. When they changed our dairy like they have, that becomes inflammatory for a lot of people. But I have patients who can't tolerate any of the gluten here that can go to Europe and they're fine. I had a patient flying from Bulgaria that can't tolerate our wheat here.
Wow. So last question, who should do that? Who should at least try an anti-inflammatory diet?
Everyone.
Everyone? Because I would imagine everybody's walking around with some measure of inflammation, right? So just to give your body a break from the other inflammatory factors in your life, right?
Yeah, play with it and see what affects you and what doesn't. All of our patients, when they start our programs, we take them through an elimination phase where we just pull things out and observe. And you can do that at home.
Mm-hmm.
Pull food out of your diet for 2 weeks and observe. Do I feel any difference from pulling wheat or gluten out? Do I feel any difference from pulling dairy out? The first thing that's going to happen is if you've never done this, you're going to be shocked at how much food you eat that has that component in it.
Wow.
If it's corn or dairy or wheat, you're going to be shocked that you are eating that much of that type of food.
Wow. All right, we're going to pause. When we come back, we're going to start taking your questions. One that I saw in there is, can grief cause sickness? I'm super curious how you're going to answer that. Dr. Troy Spurl is my guest today. And now it's time to go after these texts. We'll tackle as many as we can. Go ahead and text your question in if you like, 877-933-2484. Hope you're having a really great day. We sure are. We're so grateful to have our good friend, Dr. Troy Spurl, in the house today. He is CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He joins us once a month to answer your questions on health and the healing process. And so we've talked about anti-inflammatory diets. We've address the question, can you make yourself sick? And if so, how so? And we could literally do a whole show on that because there's so many more directions we could go. But now we're tackling questions. Here's one. Cecile asks, can grief cause sickness? I feel like I've had more arthritis type symptoms since the sudden passing of her husband in March. Oh, wow. Try to eat well and exercise. Just been blindsided by uncommon aches and pains. I'm 63. Oh, dear Cecile, I wish I could wrap you up in a hug. Oh, I don't even know what to say. What do you say, Doc?
Absolutely. Grief can cause sickness. When it comes to those specific symptoms, the first thing I would look at, too, is also just to make sure that you're drinking lots of water, because when you go through grief, you're just not as hungry as you were. You're not as attentive to the little things, and water being one of them. Also, when it comes to arthritis, we've talked about this before, but there is a tremendous amount of healing that occurs when forgiveness is needed to be given. So when people forgive, and when we have a passing of a loved one, grief is one thing, but I just want you to check in to make sure there isn't a lack of forgiveness for your loved one being taken from you.
Hmm.
So if something happened anywhere in the process and you haven't forgiven yourself, even God or
a doctor,
circumstances, a doctor, whatever it was, make sure that's addressed to help facilitate the healing for any type of the joint stuff. But I'll also just point this out. The emotional state of grief is not the same as fight or flight or fear, but it's right beside it. And so it can keep us close to that state of fight or flight where we don't get into what we call rest and digest. If you're not sleeping, you're not recovering, the joints will actually become a problem. If you're not able to eat the same way you were before because of the grief, our digestive system becomes a little bit sluggish, and the consequences of that can be headaches or sore joints. And in particular, to the right of the belly button is a valve, and when that spasms, it causes achy joints throughout all of the body that can kind of move around. So just massaging the abdomen to relieve some of that tension and pressure, because grief will cause tense bowels.
Wow.
Grief will cause the bowels to even flip. And we've seen this with animals too, where they're going through some level of grief or sorrow and their intestines will flip on them.
Wow.
And so humans do the exact same thing. So grief can have a pretty good toll on the body. It's important to know that it's an appropriate response to have, but not to live in.
Wow. He's talking about the ileocecal valve. That's, you know, if you lie down and you press on your belly button and go to the right and then press, and if you feel a tenderness there, you know that thing's probably locked up. And Dr. Troy often says, you know, in the morning before you get up and at night before you go to bed, just massage it. And even in the middle of the day, if you need to. But I've had that thing locked up before I understood about it. Dr. Troy, you know, I was in clinic one time and I had all those aches and pains and I'm like, what is wrong with me? And you did that and I felt a release through my whole body. And the days followed, the pains were gone. So
it is a bizarre one because you literally sometimes feel like you're dying from this weird pain that's just like through the whole body. You're wondering about infection. You're wondering about arthritis. And so when you do get it and you release it, when it is that ileocecal valve, then it is a very quick, easy fix. And if you've ever had an appendectomy, just know that you're more predisposed to ileocecal valve problems.
Is that right? Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, we bless you, dear Cecile, and we just pray the Lord himself will comfort you and encourage you in this time. And holidays are especially hard when you're sorting through a loss. So bless you, dear one. All right. Michelle says, hey, Susie, thanks for having Dr. Troy on again and again. I always enjoy the conversation. Could you please ask him about Upeel, I think it is. It's new coating that they're putting on fruits and vegetables from what I know is toxic for us. It helps to preserve those things so they last longer. Thank you very much and have a beautiful day.
Yeah, I saw that. That is scary. So it's to improve shelf life, not your cells at all. So one more reason to go organic. And so it is something they're coating fruit and vegetables with. So it is something that they're putting on the label. So you have to look at the labels. But I read about it. I should brush up on that because when it first came out, I was a little horrified with it. And my wife is the one who found it and pointed it out to me. And so that's one more example of food scientists trying to help them generate. It's weird because it comes under the umbrella of we're going to feed the world. And so we're going to increase the shelf life so we can feed the world. But it doesn't help if you give them organic arsenic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like it's not, that's not feeding the world. So maybe the heart is right as far as what they're trying to do. But how it's landing is not good.
Yeah, you know, just my layman's assessment is there's enough food in the world for the world. God makes sure of that. What's needed is not more preservatives, it's greater generosity.
Yes.
You know, the people have a lot. We need to share with those who have less.
Yep.
So just my two cents. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm not. Let me just say. All right. I'm sorry. I might be wrong.
It was worth more than 2 cents.
Thank you so much. Okay, here's one. Tips on how to stop drinking soda. Wanting caffeine throughout my day as a pick-me-up. Thank you.
Okay, so, soda for caffeine. That's interesting. So most people, it's the sugar.
Interesting.
So let me walk through both on that one. So first of all, soda is just so bad for you from the high fructose corn syrup. It's just really detrimental. It increases your uric acid, which can cause gout, but also Alzheimer's, one of the earliest indicators for Alzheimer's. It can cause non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So soda is just really detrimental. So if we have cravings for it, it means that there's stressors that have to be identified in your life. So first of all, just like the medications we talked about earlier, there's a Band-Aid, same thing with soda. Food, when we go to food to help with either energy or for an emotion, it's not the answer. Food is meant to sustain and fuel our body and our brain. Energy, that's pretty much it. We can get pleasure from it when it tastes really good, and we've gotten to a point where that's a lot of people are trying to get that pleasure to actually, when they really need a hug or they need a less stressful day.
Wow.
So here's a little secret though. You can switch to herbal teas. That's one thing for some people, unless you have issues with tannins. But if you just have to replace the sweetness, and that'll help a little bit from the pop perspective. And what I like to do is honey, raw local honey. It will not spike your blood sugar. It's super sweet, and you won't feel like actually having a pop afterwards. And it doesn't even have to be honey in a drink, in tea. You can do that and melt it in there, but I will have people eat an apple, cut it up, and put honey on it. And then all of a sudden they want, after that, just straight up regular water, not pop.
Wow.
And then you start to get into that mode and mindset.
Okay, Angie.
I have a follow-up question. So I like the bubbles, and I went to flavored waters that don't have sugar in them.
Yes.
To get myself off of pop because I liked the bubbles.
Yes.
So what do you think of that?
So that also helps, and that's really good. And some of them have caffeine in it so that you can get at a lower amount. There is one little detriment to that, so that doesn't replace regular water. The bubbles actually can cause an imbalance with some of our sodium and potassium and some of the electrolytes. But I drink that as well, and so instead of any type of pop or anything like that. So it's a great idea. It's one of the solutions we have for people, but we also tell them, make sure you're not replacing that with your water.
Right.
You have to continue to have water. So that's a great idea. From the caffeine side of things, you have to just slowly reduce your caffeine.
Mm-hmm. You'd be amazed once you get off of it. Honestly, yeah. You won't miss it.
No, your energy will go up.
If you're addressing your other health issues. Because it's a fake energy. I was on coffee for many, many years, and you made me get off of it. I almost kicked you in the shins. But truly, though, when I have a few sips of my hubby's coffee, what I feel versus my normal energy, there's no comparison. So it's like, if you get off your caffeine and you're tired and you address those issues so that you have energy, that feels so much better than being totally attached to.
People actually don't realize, but caffeine is actually the number one drug in the world.
Hmm.
And so it is classified as a drug. And so it's legal, but it's classified as a drug. But it's the highest commodity in the world, basically.
Mm, interesting.
And so through coffee and other things. And so, and it's not bad for us if we have it in low amounts. And if we have it in natural forms like green tea, it's a little bit better.
And clean coffee is actually really good for you too.
And clean coffee can be really good for you. It's antioxidant. And so there's a lot of benefits still there. But for pop, I just don't like caffeine and pop much at all. And so to get off of it is really what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And if you need the caffeine for energy, then there's something else wrong. So if you're not sleeping properly, work on the sleep and then slowly wean off the pop and the caffeine. If you're having the midday lull and you need caffeine for the pick-me-up, it means you're out of balance with how you're eating your carbs and your blood sugar and your exercise.
And even exercise might be good at that point.
Exactly. So you've got to you're not using your sugar properly. Right. And so that needs to be addressed. Don't rush it. Just do it slowly. This is how you can tell if you're consuming too much caffeine. Stop all caffeine cold turkey, and do you get a headache?
Hmm.
If you get a headache, that's called withdrawal.
If you get a headache thinking about it, that's withdrawal.
That's really severe withdrawal. But think about, what do we get withdrawal from?
Yeah.
Like anything that God gave us that's good, we don't get withdrawal from that, mm-hmm. really.
Right.
So
one other thought about what Angie talked about, the bubbly water. I've heard that like some of the brands like a Pellegrino is actually good for your gut. It's not meant to replace your water, but way better replacement for soda, and that actually can settle the gut. And I will just tell you, I've felt that. When my gut's a little funny and I drink a Pellegrino, it settles it down. I don't know why.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's an activity and an increase in a blood flow from the fizziness. And so the fizziness is like a stimulation. So carbonating different waters, they actually sell carbonating machines. So you can actually carbonate your own house water if you wanted to, or filtered water. So there is a benefit from it, but like a lot of things, when you overdo it, there's a consequences
Got
as
it.
Well.
As always, right?
Yep.
Okay. Let's see here. Natalie says, "Hey, Susie, Dr. Troy, so excited for the show. I always look forward to hearing what you two have to say about health and healing and how it's so intricately connected to God and how he designed us. My question probably is very different than most in nature. I was wondering if you have ever experienced patients dealing with breast implant illness. She was very sick, diagnosed with horrible autoimmune disease 10 years ago. After much prayer and research, discovered there's a whole group of women out there who are suffering from this. Praise God, I was healed and no longer am sick after removing those implants. Question is this something you've experienced and in your view is directly related to these implants and toxic load they carry, or is it all in our heads? Thank you so much for taking my question." I just got to say, I've heard about this, I met a woman who just says, it changed my life to get those out.
Yeah.
She said she was constantly inflamed, constantly sick, and they couldn't get diagnoses for her, but she knew she was not feeling well.
Yeah.
So what say you?
Yeah, we've had many patients where we've had to make that recommendation. So probably, off the top of my head, probably 20 to 30. And I would say about, of the 20, I would say probably 12 had significant improvements.
Wow.
There's only been one or two who didn't really notice anything, but they were glad they did it still. And so it's been very, very, very life-changing for a lot of women. And there is a difference between the silicone and saline. And so the saline has had less issues we've seen, but any silicone or leakage, I mean, it can cause challenges with your immune system. Any type of foreign anything in our body, our immune system doesn't necessarily know what it is, so it's going to potentially mount an attack against it like it would a virus or a bacteria.
Wow, okay. All right, when we come back, we're going to answer more questions. Here's one. You have awesome shows. That's not a question, but she said it, so I had to repeat it. Thank you, Jenny. Says, husband has thyroid disease. He's taking meds for this. What else can he do? That's one of the questions I wanted to ask you about is the different thyroid conditions. And so, Jenny, we'll take your question and even add on to that. And all the different questions that are on the board here, if we don't get them, Dr. Troy and I doing some extra credit after the show and recording another whole show to air next month. So if you're texting in questions today, chances are really good we're either going to get them during this show or the one that will be airing next month. So don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen. Time together as people of faith is so important, and together we can make a positive impact. So Faith Radio is ready to hit the road. Would your community be a good fit for a Faith Radio live event full of encouragement and togetherness that we can spur each other on toward love and good deeds? Nominate your community for a live Faith Radio event at myfaithradio.com, and I hope to get to see you soon.
We sure love and appreciate you. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Susie Larson. This is Susie Larson Live, and our good friend Dr. Troy Sproul joins me on the show once a month to answer health and healing questions. We're having such a great conversation. Jenny writes in. She says, we have awesome shows. Thank you, Jenny. I feel the same way just because I love our guests so much. She said her husband has thyroid disease, and he's taking meds for this. What else can he do? And how do you get thyroid disease?
Well, it comes from many different places, and there's a lot of different thyroid diseases. So there's Hashimoto's, which is antibodies against your thyroid, and it can cause hypothyroid. There's hypothyroidism. There's hyperthyroidism. So the thyroid with hypo is low functioning. Hyper, it's high functioning. Then there's Graves' disease, which is where it's stuck in this hyper thyroid.
Is that more serious than others?
Yeah. So the hyperthyroid's more life-threatening. And so a lot of times you have to take like a beta blocker to make sure your metabolism of the heart is not so extreme that the heart beats so fast that it kind of, and not to be graphic, but explodes basically. Mm. It can be life-threatening with that part. Inflammatory thyroid as well. So there's a lot of different causes. Infections can affect the thyroid different things like environmental chemicals that mimic estrogen can cause thyroid disorders and disease. Iodine deficiency or iodine instability is one of the top problems too for thyroid disease. So hypothyroid or a low functioning thyroid can just be iodine deficiency. A lot of people don't get iodine because, especially in the Midwest, because iodine comes from the sea, from the ocean. And so if we don't get things that come from the ocean, then we can be deficient in iodine. So when they say iodine or thyroid disease, there could be a lot of different things. Medication generally implies that it's at some level hypo, but they will also try and do thyroid medication for hyper to try and balance it out. But again, this is where it becomes very, very crucial to look at what is the root cause. A lot of people with thyroid disorders and dysfunction have been exposed to environmental chemicals that mimic estrogen. Estrogen can sit in and displace the thyroid hormone in what we call thyroid binding globulins. So it's this different globulins that transport the thyroid hormone from the actual gland to the cells of the body. And so it's kind of like a seat in a ship, and then estrogen and or anything that mimics estrogen can displace it. So then the thyroid hormone is sitting there, and its job is to stimulate and turn on a cell metabolically. So it will turn on a cell and stimulate the closest cell, which is the thyroid. And that's how we get things like goiters and stuff like that as well. So there's a lot of different things when it comes to actual thyroid diseases that can set that up. But inflammation is another one, along with heavy metals and environmental chemicals.
So when you said someone could possibly be exposed to estrogen mimicking material, is that food, eating
pesticides?
Number one
is pesticides. Wow. And then birth control pills can do it. Extra estrogen can cause thyroid problems just in general. One of the sneaky ones is when you have bowel problems and you end up with a recycling of your estrogen. There's a chemical called beta-glucuronidase, which is in the bowels, and if it's too high, it grabs onto the estrogen and brings it back to your liver system to recycle it. It's a good thing when you're deficient and you're losing your estrogens. It's a bad thing when you've got too much estrogen and it can overload the liver system as well. So it's got to be in balance like everything else.
Mm. And so what, she says he's taking meds, what else can he do?
Well, I do a full year course just on thyroid. So that's not an easy answer. So there is Isabel Wentz has a great book called A Thyroid Protocol or The Thyroid Something. And so a lot of good functional medicine books out on thyroid because it is all about diet, lifestyle, and then going after the root cause of what set this up. And so we will spend a full 6 months to a year investigating why that set that up with people. Mm. But reading one of those books is really good. One of my favorites, A Blast from the Past, was Why Do I Have Thyroid Symptoms When My Labs Are Normal? That's the name of the book by Dr. Datis Karizian. And so that might be 15 years old now, but it was the first book that set off the entire chain reaction of having people look at the thyroid differently.
Mm. And maybe do different panels?
Yeah. So we look at the thyroid, just not TSH and free T4, which is the gold standard in the medical community, but looking at T3, T4, free T3, free T4, antibodies against the thyroid, reverse T3, and then TSH. And one of the best newest book on this subject is called The Thyroid Debacle. And I read that last winter when I was on a bit of a break. And it's a medical doctor who was diagnosed with a thyroid condition and realized how, being nice, I'm just going to say how little the traditional community, medical community had to help her, just medications. And then Dr. Eric, who is a functional medicine doc, and they combined together and helped reverse her her thyroid issues, and there's a huge learning there. So,
wow. If someone has like Graves, if it gets to that point, they've been diagnosed with it, can you reverse that, or is it now you got to treat it?
Well, I have to be careful with this because I'm supposed to say no, you can't reverse it, except for we've reversed it. So it's not easy, but I did have a patient with horrific Graves' disease, and we found it was a bunch of environmental toxins and estrogens, and it was a NuvaRing. It was basically a birth control type of scenario too that set off this chain reaction, and her labs were horrible when it came to the Graves markers. And so it's actually one of the ones I show a lot of the medical doctors who say you can't reverse that, and I show the labs and say, well, this was it 3 years ago, this is it now. And
wow. So what do they say when you do that?
How did you do that?
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Like I said, we're in a life group with several other doctors in the traditional medical community. They're dear friends. We love them, people of God. So we're never dissing the traditional medical community. But what's a beautiful thing is to see these guys sit around the table and help each other learn so they can help many more people heal. That's what we're all about. And we're so glad you tuned in. We see these questions. I can't wait to tackle them. As soon as we say goodbye, we're going to say hi and record another show. Have a blessed day. We love and appreciate you so much. Every step towards health and healing matters. So may the Lord Jesus himself show you what he wants you to do. Change your diet, get to bed on time, drink more water. Yes, yes, yes. And he'll show you what's next. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.